Perek Yud Pasuk Aleph. It says, "Vayokam Achrei Avimelech Loshias Yisrael Tola Ben Pua Ben Dodo Ishi Sachar Vu Yoshe B'Shamir B'Har Ephraim." After Avimelech got up and was this ignominious king who really didn't do anything for anyone, really did horrible things. So came Tola Ben Pua Ben Dodo. We don't know if Dodo was the name or the son of a certain uncle of Ishi Sachar. Vu Yoshe B'Shamir B'Har Ephraim. He lived in an area called Shamir in the mountains of Ephraim. Ish put his zol asim v'shal shana. He judged Ben Yisrael for 23 years. Vayamas v'yikaver b'Shamir. He died. He was buried in Shamir itself. Now, everybody knows that Yisachar was a shevet that was known for their Torah learning, right? So Yisachar was known as that. All the words over here they're used to describe, hey, David, come. All the use. Yeah. Here, take this one. You got this guy.
Wow.
Right? So all the names that are used to describe what Tola Ben Pua was all have to do with a worm. Tola'as is one that's a worm itself. Pua is referring to a worm. We've got the word at the end, Shamir. We all know the Shamir woman's right over there. We're in Perek Yud Pasuk Aleph. So all of those refer to that. There's no question that he was somebody who was amazing for all of Klal Yisrael. Meaning after Avimelech, and you had this guy who was a massive Rasha and did all these terrible things, it was amazing to have somebody come out who was willing to learn and be able to do some unbelievable things. But we don't know anything about it.
23 years also, which says something.
23 years as well. That's 100%. And also, he was centrally located. The mountains of Ephraim, Yisachar was a little bit up top. Yisachar was a little bit further up, right? But he lived by Ephraim because he wanted to be centrally located to help out Bnei Yisrael. Shechem was a little bit like that as well, but he wanted to make sure that he was around all those people.
It's interesting they don't use, the Navi doesn't use the language of like, he did good in the eyes of Hashem like they did with all the
with the kings or whatever it is. No, it's not like that when it comes to the
so
show.
You really, like, we're if just speculating that he did a good job.
Well, the fact that it says Vayishbot is so, which it didn't say by Avimelech, Vayishbot is a great word. That means he was a real shofet. That means he did something awesome. That's what we say over here. Vayakam Acharav Yair Giladi. Then came Yair Giladi. Giladi means from Menashe. He was from Sheva Menashe. Vayishbot is so from Mishnayim Shana. He ruled over Bnei Yisrael for 22 years again as shofet. Vayilo Shloshim Banim Rochvim Al Shloshim Ayarim. He had 30 sons that rode on 30 donkeys. Shloshim Ayarim Lahem. Lahem Yikru Chavos Yair. And they also owned 30 cities. They called those cities Chavos Yair, Adi Yom Hazeh, until today, Asher Beretz Galad, that was in the land of the Galad, Vayamas Yair Vayikaver B'Kamon. He died and he was buried in Kamon itself. That's the idea behind it. Now, there were cities called Chavos Yair. They were conquered by Yair ben Menashe many, many, many years ago when they had first come out of Mitzrayim. This is not the same Chavos Yair. They were named colloquially because since they already had Chavos Yair, they called another bunch of cities called Chavos Yair over there. But there's no way this is the same Yair. How do we know that it wasn't the same Yair? He would have been almost 300 years old by now. And why wouldn't they have made him shofet until now? That doesn't make any sense. It cannot be the exact same person over here. He was probably like a great-great-great-grandson by this time. Aside from that, Rashi says that he was childless. Right? It doesn't make any sense. It's got to be that that's who we're referring to over here, and that's that. Okay. Now we have Pasuk Vav. Yosef ben Yisrael lost Rabbi and Hashem. Unfortunately, ben Yisrael did evil in the eyes of Hashem again. They served the Baal, right? That was the male version, the masculine version of those idols. That's Ashtaros. And the feminine version of those idols called the Ashtaros. The god of Aram, Tzidon, Moab, Bnei Amon, and the Pelishim.
They
forsook God, Avadu. They didn't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu whatsoever. Up until now, they were serving Avodah Zarah together with Hashem, where they believed in God, but they also wanted to feel like, okay, there was something that we had to do right over here. Now it was really bad. Now it became really, really bad, and they started doing whatever they wanted when it came down to it. This is the generation that forgot God completely, and that's what the Kli Yakar says. 7 different idols are mentioned over here. If you mention it right over here, Ba'olim, Ashtaros, Aram, Tzidon, Moab, Amon, Pelishtim. 7 ones that are mentioned over here. This corresponds to the 7 times, actually, in this week's Parsha, Parsha's Bechukosai, the curses that come in terms of 7. That once they hit the 7 mark, Shem said, all right, I'm out. I don't want to deal with this anymore. Some say the 7 refers to the 7 judges that have been up to Judge Klal Yisrael up until now, and every time they went astray, something bad happened, and again, somebody else came up. If we went through that possible, Asniel ben Kenaz, Ehud ben Gera, Shamgar ben Anas, Devorah and Aviah, Gidon, we're not counting Avimelech, Tola ben Pua, and Yair HaGiladi. Right? So those are the 7 that we had up until this point. Now, Hashem got angry at the Pelishtim. He sold them into the hands of the Pelishtim and the Bnei Amon. Notice it says the word Bnei over here. Bnei Amon is not used by any other person. The reason why is because of the modesty of their great-grandmother, you know, the Lot and his daughters, that there was a modesty behind them. So the Kli Yakar, only the Ammonim are known as Bnei Amon. So what they did was they oppressed for 18 years. They oppressed B'nai Yisrael, all the people that are on the Gilad, on the other side of the Jordan River. And then they crossed over the Jordan River. They reached war on Yehuda, Binyamin, and Beis Ephraim, and it was really bad for B'nai Yisrael. The very year that Yair Giladi died, that was the year that B'nai Yisrael were conquered and enslaved. Says the Ralbag, it was extremely quick. As soon as they just started their idol worship, because this time there was no God involved, there was no Hashem. It was just the idol worship. Immediately, they were punished. It says, V'zakov B'nai Yisrael Hashem Leimor Chatanulach. B'nai Yisrael called out to Hashem and said, we sinned. Ki azavnos elokeinu and avodos ha'balim. We forsook God and we served the Baalim. We see what happened to us. Vayomer Hashem el B'nai Yisrael. Hashem said to B'nai Yisrael, the Ralbag says to Pinchas. Obviously, Pinchas is the one that refers to what happened over here. Vayomer Hashem el B'nai Yisrael. Halum mitzvah mimin amorim b'nai mal mimin pelishim v'tzi donav amalik ma'on. Lacha tu has come. Itzako elav ashu has come yadam. All these people have oppressed you. I've saved you from their hands. V'atam azavtum usif v'atavdu olim acherim. And now you're forsaking me. You're going to other idols. L'chein lo'osif lo'shi has come. I'm done. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Pinchas, I'm done. I don't want to deal with you anymore. I'm done with talking to you. Go scream out to the gods that you chose. They're going to try to save you in the days of your pain. It's no longer. Can you believe this? This is a line that's so scary for us nowadays. There is a point of no return. There is a point where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm done with you. I'm done with you. I don't want to deal with you anymore. Where HaKadosh Baruch Hu even turns to them and says, I don't want to have to deal with it. I cannot believe that I have to do it. There's no such thing as just saying sorry now. Once you went against me and you started serving the idols, not believing me at all, I'm done. I don't want to have anything to do with you. You're right, we sinned. Asher ato lanu kichol ato beinecha. You can do to us whatever is good in your eyes. But please save us today. But please save us today. We understand that you're angry at us. We understand we did something wrong. Please save us. Pasuk tes zayin. They got rid of all the strange gods from among them, but Hashem, and they served God, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu could no longer bear it. Because now they were serving him again, they couldn't take it. Pinchas had done his job. He gave them muster that worked. They didn't know what to do. So B'nai Amon, they gathered together. They camped by Gilad. They also B'nai Yisrael gathered. They camped by Mitzpah itself. The gathering of the Ammonim was already the salvation of B'nai Yisrael. That was the beginning of the Yeshua. They already started getting up from where they were to go back to the Gilad because there was so much rebellion going on there, started moving backward and moving backward and moving backward. When the Jews saw that they were getting up to leave, they got up at Mitzpah and said, let's chase them out. They decided to get together at Mitzpah itself, which was a traditional gathering place for B'nai Yisrael. It's time for us to do something like that. Mitzpah might have been a special place that they had done before. Who knows what it is exactly? But either way, some say, the Radak and the Abarbanel say, that the Ammonim realized they wanted stronger tactics. They realized B'nai Yisrael was going to fight them. So they went further back to really pull together. So they had a huge army. So when B'nai Yisrael fights them, everybody would be there. But they still had a problem. They didn't have a leader. Everybody said to one another, who's the man that's going to be able to fight against these people? He will be the head for all the B'nai Gilad. They had no idea who was going to take hold of them. They didn't have confidence to be able to take themselves. Who was going to be there? Art Scroll brings this down. No longer were they going to have these great leaders. Every single one of their leaders were men of lesser stature that were not going to be that special. Now, I don't want to say that about somebody like Shimshon or Shmuel Anavi, right? Chas v'shalom to say such a thing. But the leader that's going to be brought up is the following. And we already see it's like a loss from what we had. Osnio ben Kenaz, Devorah Hanaviyah, these unbelievable shoftim that were unbelievable to many chamim, going down to Yiftach. Yiftach is considered, you don't want to say it this way, but the least of the shoftim. Still a billion times greater than us, but the least of all of the shoftim. Yiftach HaGiladi, HaYigibor Chayo. The first description given for him is he's a strong man of war. That's not so gishmak. That's not what you want to be known as. Yes, you want to be known as a strong man. That's not your first thing. The first thing you should have is, he was a shofet. He was a tzaddik. He's a talmid chacham, but nothing. Gibor Chayo. Hu ben isha zonam. He was the son of a woman who was a prostitute. Some say, literally, she was a prostitute. Others say she was an innkeeper, right? Others say she was a concubine. Others say she was from another sort of place, from somewhere else. If you remember, innkeepers and zonos were the same thing back then. Many of the innkeepers had some extracurricular activities that they did together with their innkeeping I guess, abilities. And that's why you'll see the word Zona refer to innkeeper and also refer to a prostitute of some sort. So all of them were right there. But he was the son of that. Vayolad Gilad is Yiftach. Gilad gave birth to Yiftach. Now, Gilad may have been a guy. It could have been referring to the entire area. Because his mother was a Zona, she was together with so many people, all of Gilad was technically the father of Yiftach. That's the idea behind it. Exactly. But do you see how the Navi is describing him? We're looking at this description. We're like, this is the shofet that we get? Like, how in the world? When Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was going to save the Jews from Rome in the Iladav Yud Zayin and Aleph, Ben Tamalian, who was a demon, came to greet him. And when he saw Ben Tamalian, he started crying. Ben Tamalian said, well, what's wrong? He said, the shifra of my father's house, Hagar, got malachim. And I got a demon? What, I have to get a demon to help me? So it's sort of like this. Like, we have to have Yiftach? We couldn't deserve any other person. But Teledish is Gilad Lobanim. The wife of Gilad gave birth to children. This certainly indicates that Gilad was referring to an actual guy. By Yiglu ben Aisha, they grew up. By Yigorshu is Yiftach. They kicked Yiftach out of the house. Whether Gilad is a real person or else the city itself, they all kicked Yiftach out. They said, get out of here. By Yomulo, Lo Sinchal Beve Savinuki ben Isha Charizata. You're not going to inherit among all of us, right? You're the woman of another, you're the son of another woman. You're not the right person for us. Yeah.
Rabbi Akiva come from any Yifas?
No, he was a son of a Ger or a son of the grandson of a Ger.
Don't we have a lot of people throughout our history who come from no Yifas?
100%, yeah. 100%. And surprisingly enough, many leaders, right? Many leaders ended up coming through there.
So then why are they making a big, why does the Torah make a big deal out of when someone doesn't come from Yifas?
Why do Hasidim like marrying people with dubious status when it comes to their lineage? It's one of those things.
Hasidim have nothing better to do. it's kind of true.
No, it's the same issue.
See, we're trying to say the dubious status. What are you trying to say here?
No, I'm just saying. That's the issue. Okay, the issue is that, you know.
It's not such a deep.
Yeah, that's the way people are, unfortunately. But they said, Lo tinkol b'vesevin, you're from somewhere else. Now, the amazing part is that he didn't fight back. Yiftach didn't fight back. Why in the world didn't he fight? He's a Gibor Chayil. But it shows you something. Gibor Chayil that we describe him as cannot just be in war. It's got to be his attitude and his musser. He must have been a Gibor Chayil when it came to everything. And the reason why is because otherwise you'd have something saying he's a Gibor Chayil and he fought that. He didn't fight back. He was a person who's able to hold himself back and realize, this is not a thing for me to do. I don't have to worry about that whatsoever.
The truth, what are you going to fight back from?
Well, you say, like, of course I'm inheriting. I'm the son of my father. I'm going to go ahead and inherit. But that's what he wants. He wants the money. But Yiftach didn't care. He said, that's fine. That's fine whatsoever. There's a lot of issues over here itself. But either way, regardless, we see what's going to happen. Vayivrach Yiftach m'vnei'achav. He ran away. Vayishav Eretz Tov. He lived in the land that was good. Vayislak to El Yiftach, and they're gathered to Yiftach. Anashim Reikim, empty-headed men. Vayetzu Imo, and they went out with him wherever he went over here. Number one, the fact that it says Tov over here, he was content to live in exile, says the Baramosha, that's why the land was called Tov. Such a person, he's such a good person, and he's willing to run away from all the money because that's what his parents, that's what the kids, they wanted him to get kicked out, whatever it is, says Baramosha, that's why the land was called Tov, because of him, that he was there over there. Some say the word Tov refers to the actual land, that it was a really good land that had a lot of crops. I kind of doubt that because this seems to be in Jordan and it would have been farther away from the Jordan River. I have no idea why this land would have been good whatsoever. This should have been desert wasteland that was filled in Jordan. I have no idea why it would have been something good at all. It could also refer to a very fertile land that we just don't know of, that were somewhere else entirely, referring to a guy or whatever it was. But either way, we have a guy named Yiftach. He was not the type of person that was learned in Torah like everybody else. He was unwilling to grow or to work on himself or to relinquish anything that he had, right? That's a problem. The people that gathered with him were people that really had no idea what they were all about. They weren't fickle people. They believed in what Yiftach had, but there were people that were just, they didn't know anything. They mamish knew absolutely nothing. And Bava Kamma, we learn from this, birds of a feather flock together. That's the line that we use over here, that people who didn't know any Torah learning went to Yiftach, who didn't know any Torah learning. So they both went together, and that was the problem behind it. Reikim also means they might not have had any property. They had nowhere to go home to. They didn't have anything. So Yiftach gathered them together and became their leader. Miyamim, after days came, Yilachim b'nei Amon Yisrael. The b'nei Amon started waging war with b'nei Yisrael. Yikasher nochama b'nei Amon Yisrael. Yilchu zikne gil lakachas is Yiftach meretz Tov. The elders of Gilad went to go get Yiftach from the land of Tov. Now, Yiftach had been kicked out already. The Ziknei Gilad realized the only person who was going to be able to win in this war was Yiftach. Vayomer Yiftach lechol v'yisol lanu l'katzin. Come, and you'll be our katzin. What's a katzin? Katzin is
a leader,
but not a real leader. We're not asking you to be a Rosh. We're not asking you to be our king. We're not asking you to be our Moshe. That's not what we want from you. We want you to be a katzin. We want you to be a general for a little bit. You'll be our general. We'll use you for a little bit, and then you'll go back home. And that's that. V'nilchama b'nei Ammon, we'll wage war against b'nei Ammon. There's money involved. You'll have a lot of money. You'll take as much as you want when it comes to this money, and then you'll go home afterward. How about that? Right? Do you want that? I don't understand. You guys hate me. And you got rid of me from the house of my father. Now that you have pain, you're coming back to me? So there's a double entendre here. Yiftach obviously meant it exactly as that. Like, you're coming to me? I don't understand why you're coming to me. Like, all of a sudden you're coming to me and you think that I'm going to be able to save you. There's nobody around you that can save you. But the double entendre is he's speaking for God as well. God was just saying this to you. You hated God. You had nothing to do with God. And all of a sudden you're coming back when you have pain? You can't just do that. You think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be with you when you come back in pain? You have to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you're having good things happen, when you have other things happen. But now you're coming to me this. So he was giving the argument for God, so to speak. And when the elders answered him, it was as if they were answering God as well. That's the idea behind it. And that's that. Yiftach as well really did not want, what he was telling them was, you think I'm in this for the money? You think I want it just for the money? That's not why I'm here. If I'm going to be a leader, that's one thing. But you're not offering me leadership. You're not doing that. I have absolutely no need. Because you know what's going to happen? You're going to make me this leader. And as soon as you don't need me anymore, you're going to kick me to the curb and kick me out again. And who knows if I'm going to get anything out of it. I don't want anything at all from you. To which, Vayom Ziknei Gilad El Yiftach. Lachain Ata Shavnu Elecha. We've done tshuva to you. We've come back. V'lachnu Yimanu. We'll go with you. And fine. You'll be a Rosh. We're not offering you all of Klal Yisrael, but you'll be a Rosh for the people of Gilad. How about that? Will you be the leader of the people of Gilad? Gilad, remember, is on the other side of the Jordan River. So can we offer you that? We'll make you the leader over us. Right? That's the idea behind it. Yiftach said to the elders of Gilad, if you're really coming back to me, waging war against the B'nai Ammon, and Hashem's going to put them in front of me, then I will be the Rosh. It's not from you guys. It's going to happen that way. He said, I still suspect that you guys are using me, but if it happens, I will be the Rosh no matter what because you won't be able to kick me out.
What do they want?
The Rosh of Gilad. The Rosh of Gilad.
Why do you want?
No, he wanted to be the Rosh of something. He said, I'd rather be a leader.
But if he's talking like he's talking as a he's a god for Kadosh Baruch Hu, why Kadosh Baruch Hu would want to be
no,
the god for
that,
everyone?
You're right. That was just the first line to be able to say we're doing tshuva. That was just for that. Now he's speaking for himself. You're right. That was only one line where he said it like that.
Why
yeah.
is Yiftach important at all?
He's not.
So why does he have...
They know that he's powerful. Right? They know that he's powerful. They know that he has an army. And they know they need to use him. Yiftach had a feeling. You want to call this... We're going to see he gets this Ruach Hashem. He had a feeling that he was going to lead B'nai Yisrael in battle. And for that, he wants to be the head of B'nai Yisrael. But in and of itself, he's not an important person.
Well, he's really, not being head of B'nai Yisrael.
That's what he asked. And he got it. We'll make you a Rosh. Ayelacham the Rosh.
Gilad.
Yeah, that's still a Rosh. That's still something. V'yom Ziknei Gilad Yiftach Hashem. El Yiftach. Hashem will listen between us if we don't do exactly as you say. They took an oath. They actually swore. They swore aloud and they said, we're willing to do this for you. We're willing to do it for you. If that's what you want, then it's all done. They put him in charge as a Rosh Ulekatzin. And he spoke out all of his words in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzvah. He davened to Hashem. And he spoke out and he said, please accept me. Please allow me to do what I need to do. He may not have been a massive Talmid Chacham, but he understood that he had to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, unlike Avi Melech, and that made him into a great person, even though he was not that great of a person. Yiftach sends messengers to the king of B'nai Ammon, Lamor, saying, what's there between me and you that you have to wage war against us in our land? Now, this is really interesting. There was no chiv to wage a war over here. If they're willing to leave, to get up and leave, then he said, I don't need to fight you. Yiftach said, there's no reason to fight. You guys aren't from here, right? You're from Ammon. We were told originally not to fight against Moab or Ammon or Midian or anybody like that. We're not supposed to fight against you. So we're not going to fight against you. You know, if we can, we're going to do this. And if not, not. We're going to do whatever we can in order to fight, in order to do something that's going to be a little bit better. But they said, we're going to try to make sure that we're going to do everything in our power to do this in the right way. So they said to Ammon, let's see, what can we do? Do we have an ability to do something? We do not have an ability to do something. We want to hear what we can do over here. So, Vayomer Melech B'nei Ammon El Malachi Yiftach. The king of B'nai Ammon said to the messengers of Yiftach, Ki Lokach Yisrael's Arti. It's because the Jews took my land, Balosim Yitzrayim, when they came up from Yitzrayim, Arnon V'Adi Yabok, from Arnon until the Yabok River, Adiyar until the Jordan River, V'Atah Shiva Asem B'Shalom. And now I want them back in peace. The king of Ammon ignored Yiftach as the leader. He didn't write it back to Yiftach. He wrote it back to the Malachi Yiftach. You want to send a message back? You send a message back. But he did not address the answer to him. He ignored Yiftach as a person. Who are you? You're a nobody. I don't need to answer you. But he said, you guys took away my land. Pasuk Yadalav. Yosef would Yiftach Yishlam Alcham of Melech Ben Amon. Yiftach sent more messages over there. He wanted to make sure that it was explicit. It would Yiftach. He sent messengers to the king of Ammon, Bayomer Lo, Koamar Yiftach. So says Yiftach, specifically mentioning his name. Lo Loka Yisrael's Eretz Moav Eretz Bnei Ammon. You're wrong. That never happened. We never took Moav. We never took Bnei Ammon. We didn't do it whatsoever. So there are four answers that he's going to go through over here in which he knocks down the king of Ammon's complaints. Number one, we never conquered your land. We came all the way to Kadesh. We sent messengers to the king of Edom saying, let us go through your land. We sent to the king of Edom. The king of Edom said no. And we sent messengers to the king of Moab, right? They didn't want to. And then we just lived in Kadesh itself. We respected their borders. We didn't go into their lands. We didn't do anything whatsoever, right? That's that. Number one, we never took over your land. Number two, we sent messages to you guys and we respected your borders at the time. We went into the desert, we surrounded the land of Moab, and we came from the east to the land of Moab. We came up to the Arnon, that was the border of Moab, we didn't go any further than that. And we sent other messengers to Sichon, the king of Amori, the king of the Cheshbon. Let's go through your land, we just want to get to our place, and that's that. Well, I mean, Sichon is Yisrael. Sichon did not allow Bnei Yisrael Avor Begvula to go through his land. But yes, of Sichon is Kol Amo. He gathered his nation by Yachar B'Yatza, and they camped in Yatza. Vayelacham in Yisrael, and they waged war with Bnei Yisrael. Yitzchak Shem Elokei Yisrael. Sichon is Kol Amo B'Yad Yisrael. By Yaakov Yerush Yisrael is Kol Eretz Amorim. He took over the land. And then more Yosef Aratzehi. By Yerushu. And they inherited all of that land, the borders of the Amori, from Arnon to Yabok and Midbar, all the way into the Amor. Everything was there, and they took over that land. But it was from Sichon, not from Ammon, not from Moab. So Bnei Yisrael has allowed us to take the land of the Amori because of Bnei Yisrael. So you're going to take it? I don't understand. It wasn't given by you guys. It wasn't given by anybody. It was given to us by God. That was his third line over here, right? How in the world should we go any more than that? Whatever kamosh your God has given you, that's what you get to inherit. Everything that Kadosh Baruch Hu has given us, that's what we're going to get. If you'll notice, kamosh is in future tense. It says, Yorishcha kamosh Elohecha. The reason why is because kamosh, obviously, Yiftach did not believe that Avodah Zarah has the ability to do anything. So he couldn't say what kamosh has given you. Because has kamosh given them anything yet? No. So he wrote it as in future tense, as in, let's see what your God will give you. To get the idea behind that, says the Mashiach Chochma, that's the idea behind it. But for us, it's past tense, what God gave us, because God actually gave us that land. Although there is an opinion that says that, again, Yiftach is an Amaretz, and he didn't realize, and he worded Kamosh as if he was a God who actually did something that was powerful and was able to give you guys something that was there. V'atah, Hatov, Tov, Atomi, Balap, and Tzipor, Melech Moav, are you any better than Balap and Tzipor, the king of Moav? Arov, Rav, and Yisrael, he waged war with Bnei Yisrael, Nochom, Nochom, Bam. Are you going to wage war with us, even though he wouldn't? B'shef Yisrael, B'chashman, B'vinosel, V'aror, V'vinosel, V'chol, Ar, M'shal, Yideh, Arno, Shlosh, Mel, Shana. We've been sitting in this land for 300 years. Madu, Lui, Tzaltum, B'yisehi. Why in the world haven't you talked to us up until then? And that's the fourth and last claim that he gave. 300 years. Where have you been? 300 years later, you're coming back and you're asking us for our land? I'm saying it this way. Can you imagine the American Indians coming up and being like, give us our land back? Now, granted, they've been saying it for the last 300 years. That might be a little bit different, right? That might be a little bit different. But can you imagine somebody comes up after 300 years and says, we want our land back? Where were you? Where were you up until now? Clearly, you didn't think that there was a problem up until now.
Don't we have a halacha that says if you stay in someone's land X amount of time and no one kicks you off?
You have a taina. You have to have a taina. Yeah, without a taina, it doesn't work at all. Even if you stay there for 1,000 years, if you have no taina, you get kicked off immediately. Okay. Yeah, that for sure you have to have. Right? And that's that. And he even said to him, he's like, I don't understand. Bullock never fought us physically. You know why? Because he knew he'd lose. Even though later on we fought against Midian, that was our, we did it on our own, right? But Balak never fought against us. He knew that it was going to be through astrology, through prophecy, however you want to be over here. But there's something strange to it. Pasukov Zayin. I never did anything wrong to you. Now you're doing evil with me to wage war against me. Bein b'nei Yisrael, bein b'nei Amon. You should judge today between the b'nei Yisrael and the people of Amon. And that's the idea behind it. It's asking sort of like a judgment that's over here. Judge everybody and tell me what's going to be over here. The king of Ammon did not listen to the words of Yiftach that he sent to him. And then Yiftach got a Ruach Hashem. If you remember, we spoke from the Rambam Mori Nebuchim. Anytime there is a Ruach Hashem that is the lowest level possible of Ruach HaKodesh. There is Nevuah. Nevuah is the 10th level, the highest level possible. Ruach Hashem could happen to anybody. If I all of a sudden feel like I want to do something for a Klal Yisrael, even if I'm not frum, and I get up and I do something, that could be a Ruach Hashem. The lowest level of Ruach HaKodesh, but it has the ability to be there. And even a non-from, right, Israeli soldier can have a Ruach Hashem. You can have that little bit of Ruach HaKodesh that comes in that's possible for it to come. And that's what Yiftach had over here. Vayavor is a Gilad, that's Menashe. He passed by the Gilad of Menashe. Vayavor is Mitzvah Gilad. Mitzvah Gilad of our B'nai Amon. He went from Mitzvah Gilad. He went all the way to the B'nai Amon itself. This is what ended up happening. Gilad, Yiftach realized, I'm going straight. He did not stop. He went straight in order to go fight against them completely. If you look right over here, here's the map. He went from Tov to Hormuz, Gilad, all the way down to this area, right by Ephraim, right by the Jordan River itself. It says in Pasuk Lamed. Vayidar Yiftach neder l'Hashem. Yet Yiftach, before he went to war, made a neder to Hashem. But Yomar, he said, Im nason titen es b'nei Amon b'yadi, if you put Amon into my hands, vayah yotze asher yitzim idalse beis l'krasi b'shuvi shalom m'bnei Amon, the first thing that comes out of the doors of my house to greet me when I come home in peace from the people of Amon, vayah l'Hashem, it will be for Hashem, v'alisi u'ola, I'll bring it as a korban ola. Vayavur Yiftach b'nei Amon li'lachem b'am yitinam Hashem b'yado. He went up against the b'nei Amon. Hashem put them in his hands. Vayakim yaro er v'abalachem minis esrim. They're all the way from minis Esrim ear, 20 cities, Vad Avel Kramim, all the way to Avel Kramim, Maka Gedolim, Odva Yikonim B'nei Amon B'nei B'nei Yisrael. They were all destroyed completely. There was literally nothing left of them, and that was awesome. Now, Chazal tell us that there were three people who asked for something, and they shouldn't have asked for it. It was a bad way of asking for anything, and it was a bad thing done. One of them was Eliezer Avet Avram. Eliezer Avet Avram should not have said, the first girl that comes to me and offers me water should be the wife for Yitzchak. Can you imagine? What if it was somebody who was just, a woman who had something wrong with her? And yet, nonetheless, it turned out it was Rivka and it worked out well. Shalomelech said, whoever defeats Goliath will marry my daughter, Michal, or Merav. Right? And that happened to be Dovin HaMelech. But it could have been anybody. It could have been a mamzer. Right? But it happened to be Dovin HaMelech. The third person was Yiftach. Yiftach did not deserve for God to give him something good. So although Eliezer was a tzaddik, right? And Shalomelech was a tzaddik. So what ended up happening ended up being good. Yiftach did not deserve something good. What could have happened? A pig could have come out of his house. A dog could have come out of his house. How's he going to sacrifice that as a korban to Hashem? Instead, it was much, much worse. Pasuk Lamed Daled, Vayavu Yiftach HaMitzpah Obeso, he came back to his house, and Ebito Yotzev L'Krosso. His daughter came out to greet him, Bitupim V'Mecholos, with drums and with clarinets. V'Raki Yechidah, she was her only child. His only child, Ein Lumiyono Beno Bas. He had no other child, no other son or daughter. Vayikaroso Osa, as soon as he saw her, Vayikaras Begadav, he tore his clothing. Vayomar Ahabiti, whoa, my daughter, Hachreich Ratani, you have brought me so low. Vatiyisa Bechol Och Roy, now you brought on all my troubles. Vanoch Bitiyisi Pel Hashem, I open up my mouth to Hashem, Belo Chalashiv, I can't take it back. Now, as we said,
why did he do Kriya?
He tore Kriya because he thought he was going to have to kill his daughter.
But don't you have to do it after you kill?
Well, I mean, yes, but he tore Kriya because he knew right now how bad it was going to be, right? So he tore Kriya over what was going to have to happen for what he had done. So obviously, he's going to have to tear Kriya again if he kills her, right? But now he's tearing Kriya for this. This line is where everything goes wrong. Yiftach did not learn enough Torah. He had no idea that there was such a concept as of Hataras Nedarim. He didn't want to utilize the concept of Hataras Nedarim. He figured, I did it, it happened, and that's that. Clearly, somebody goes up to him and says to him, if you knew your daughter was going to come out first, would you have done so? Would you have made that nether? No, I never would have done so. Of course I wouldn't have done so. And anybody would have mocked that up. But he didn't realize that something could have been done that way, and he messed up.
He was thinking like the Avraham Avinu with Yitzchak and Akedah. that he will try to sacrifice, and then Hashem will stop it.
Hashem will stop it if it's going to be. It's possible. That was the theory of Moloch back then, so it is possible. Plus, Glamid Vav, Atomarei Lov, Avi, Patsisas Picha Hashem. She said to him, my father, if you open up your mouth to Hashem, Aseli Kasher Yatsim Vipicha, do to me whatever comes out of your mouth. Since Hashem has done vengeance for you from your enemies, son of B'nai Amon. She said to her father, just do one thing for me. Leave me alone for 2 months. Leave me alone. Get away from me for 2 months. Let me go down to the mountains. Me and my friends will cry over my virginity that has been lost, my youth that has been lost. He said to her, go. He sent her for 2 months. And they cried together during that time. During that time, strange, he could have gone to Sanhedrin. He could have asked them to annul. Sanhedrin didn't come to him. He didn't go to Sanhedrin. He said, I'm the leader of the Jewish people. I'm not going to go ahead and batter up my netter. I'm not going to do that. Sanhedrin said, we can't. Think about this for a second. If the guy wants to matur his netter, we can't go to him. Because what does that do? If Sanhedrin goes to him, what does that end up doing? Just think about that for a second.
Wait, one more time?
I'm
sorry.
I'm trying to be matur my netter.
Yeah.
Right? I want to matur my netter. The only way to do that is with charata. I have to feel bad about my netter. Right? If Sanhedrin goes
to
you, yeah, it's the opposite. I don't feel bad at all, right? And they're going to say to you, don't you feel bad? They can't make you have charata. It had to be Yiftach going to them, so Sanhedrin didn't have much of a choice. So
I don't understand. What does her basula have to do with anything?
Her basula?
Her basula, being a virgin.
It just happened to be that she was never married, she doesn't have any lineage, and that means Yiftach has no lineage. So nobody came from Yiftach at the end of the day. She wanted to cry about the fact that the whole family line was then going to be destroyed, right? That's what she was crying about over here. There was one person who could have done something over here, and it was Pinchas. Pinchas should have gone to Yiftach, and if he wanted to matter the netter, he could have. But the point is, send him to Sanhedrin. Go up to Yiftach and say, do this for yourself. Get rid of this netter. There's no reason why you shouldn't get rid of that netter. But here's Pinchas' problem. We've seen this before. Pinchas' issue is that he stayed away from everyone. When he needed to go to them and yell at them, like he did before earlier in the last parak, he went to them and yelled at them. But otherwise, he was a hermit, living by himself in the middle of nowhere with no one else around him. He had nothing to do with other people. He lived for 300 years already. He was 300 years old, Pinchas. But he was a special person. He got a bris from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who says the Sforno, who's usually a very rational person, that either Pinchas Zelio Anavi or Pinchas lived for an extremely long time.
This is the
right?
Same Pinchas?
It's the same exact Pinchas. That's how, even the Sforno says that. Oh. And that Pinchas should have gone up to him and said, Yiftach, go and matur your nether. And he didn't do that. And for that, both Yiftach and Pinchas are horribly, horribly punished. Yiftach's punishment, as we'll see, is going to be that he dies by atrophying his body in different parts of Eretz Yisrael. He loses parts of his body in different places. Yeah. He has his arm cut off, he has his leg cut off, and everything is lost in one place after the other. Jeez. Pinchas loses his ability to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Some say that he died. Others say he was totally disappeared from Klal Yisrael and did not reappear until he came back as Elio Anavi, the same person, but came back then. Regardless, there was a horrible, horrible punishment that should have been there. Aside from that, there's no way this is a proper netter. A proper netter applies when it makes sense. There's no way you would ever sacrifice your daughter. No way that he meant that. That wasn't even a proper netter. It didn't even count in the first place. He probably didn't even need Ataris Nadar.
Why not?
What That's happened? Not a real netter.
What about Lot? He sacrificed his daughter for.
What do you mean?
Well, because with the whole
when the people came outside of his house,
right?
That wasn't a netter.
No, but he still let her get.
I understand. I understand. It's not a proper netter to say, if my daughter comes out of my house, I will sacrifice her if I win this following war. That doesn't make any sense.
No, okay, right.
You know what I'm saying? You can, if you want to do something horrible to your daughter, you're allowed to do that. But kill her? That it doesn't count whatsoever. The mountains is an interesting thing over here. Viaradati Elaharim doesn't make any sense. I'll go down to the mountains? How do you go down to mountains? You should go up to the mountains. So what does that mean over there? So some say that Arid means to weep. And refers to crying itself. Others say that Yiftach's house was extremely high in the mountains, so she went down to other mountains that were on in the same mountain range, but just a little bit further down. Okay, Pasuk Lamitas. Vayimikates Shnayim Chadashim. It was at the end of 2 months. Vatoshav Olavia, she came back to her father, Vayasalos Nidru Asher Nadar. And he did to her the netter that he had promised. Vihilo Yada Ish, she never knew a man, but Tichok Be Yisrael, and that became a law among Bnei Yisrael. We'll see what that means in a second. Yom Yomima, Teilach Nevinu Sol, Lassanus Levasi, Yiftach Hagiladi. They were different Jews, young daughters, that went to go cry over the Bas Yiftach Gladi, our Bas Yamin Bashana, for 4 days out of the year. It was sort of like a weird holiday where these girls would go up and cry over the lost Bas Yiftach that was over there. Okay. Some say that he mamish did sacrifice her, and it was a horrible, horrible mistake, and he mamish killed her. Others say, chas v'shalom, he would never kill her. That didn't happen. Instead, he sent her away so that she had nothing to do with anybody whatsoever, and she was made to be lost in the forest, and eventually she died in the forest. But not that he actually sacrificed her as an actual korban. He did give a certain amount of value to the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, in her honor, the value of what she was worth at the time, and that was given in itself, and that was that. If he actually sacrificed her, how could he have done such a thing? And you said it already, Paul. He was influenced by the idolatrous practices of the time. Sacrifice of children was common. That's what Molech did. That's what people did back then. He probably thought it was similar to of Avraminu in the Akedah of some sort. And he thought it was the ultimate act of faith and dedication. I'm doing my word. I'm never going to break my word whatsoever. Maybe that's what he thought. Unfortunately, that was the worst thing whatsoever. The Ibn Ezra, the Ralbag, and the Abarbanel, and the Radak, they all say that she had a special house that was there. When we say that the 4 days that they came to go visit, those 4 days they went up there, they went to Bas Yiftach, according to those Rishonim. They went to Bas Yiftach and they hung out by her, or they were searching for her for those 4 days. Either way, we all know, guys, Nedarim are a horrible thing to do if you can't keep up with them. Nedarim are not the way to go for anybody. It is much better never to make Nedarim than to make Nedarim badly. That's going to be the idea behind it. Parak Yud Beis, guys, and this will probably be our last parak for today. Vayitzoik Ish Ephraim. The men of Ephraim, who were united as one, they cried out, Lavi Avar Tzafon, and they went to the north. Vayomel Yiftach, they said to Yiftach, Madua Avarta Lilacham Bnei Ammon V'lanu Lo Karasu Lecha Zimach Beis Chan Yisrof Alecha Be'esh. Why did you go fight against Bnei Ammon? You didn't call us to come with you. We're going to burn your house with fire. Okay, now this is a little bit different than what happened by Gidon. By Gidon, the Bnei Ephraim did the exact same thing. The Bnei Ephraim ended up going, right? The Bnei Ephraim ended up going to the exact, they went to, what's it called? To the Bnei Gidon, I'm sorry. The Bnei Ephraim went to Gidon, and they said, why didn't you call us? We would have gone with you. Why didn't you call us? And Gidon placated them and said, I'm so sorry. You guys are awesome. I can't believe I didn't go to you. I should have gone to you. It's my fault, etc. Here, they immediately go to him with threats. You didn't call us? We're going to burn your house down. What in the world happened over here? Why were they so angry at Yiftach that they went immediately and they said, they can't believe what happened over here? So we have to understand something. Number one, the generation has just gone down. It's been 100 years since Gidon. 100 years since Gidon was in charge. During those 100 years, Bnei Yisrael were not the same people that they once were. The Bnei Ephraim 100 years ago were good people who were upset that they didn't get called out to go in God's war. That's why they went to Gidon and they were upset. Over here, these were lowly, base people who said, I can't believe you just dissed us like that by not calling us out to war. And there were such lowly people, immediately they went into a threat. That's the Malbim. The Malbim says also, Gidon was a great person, Yiftach was not. They believed in Gidon, they didn't believe in Yiftach. That's number one over there. Number two, Yiftach never called them at all. Gidon called Bnei Ephraim at the end of his campaign. At the end of the war, he called Bnei Ephraim and said, come and help me. At least he called them at the end, right? Yiftach never called them at all. To which Bnei Ephraim said, you didn't call us at all. Why in the world didn't you call us?
Why Bnei Ephraim?
The Bnei Ephraim, because they were strong people and they were right there.
But
they were literally right
why
there.
Why was there this agenda not to call them?
So now we get the third part. The third part is by far the biggest, and the Radak says this. The people of Gilad were treated like garbage by the people on the other side of the Jordan River. Those who lived in Israel looked down upon the people of Gilad, those who chose to live outside of Eretz Yisrael. Even the people of Menasheh, their brothers, who were living inside Eretz Yisrael, treated them like garbage, and especially Ephraim. Ephraim considered himself more chashuv than Menasheh, and especially more chashuv than Menasheh that lived on the other side of the Jordan River. So when they saw that Gilad, the people on the other side of the Jordan River, took responsibility to fight against, and they were the ones that got this, they were looking at it like, oh, no. Why in the world did you guys get it and we didn't get it? They were so upset to be led by someone from the other side, from over there, that's way beneath our dignity. So they went up to him and said, who appointed you as the Rosh? What, because a bunch of Ziknei Gilad said it? You should have left it to us. We would have done it ourselves. Yiftach said to them, Ish riva yisiani v'ami, right? I have been an opponent of these people, me and my people. Bnei Ammon ma'od, with the Bnei Ammon for a long time already. V'azak eschem, I did call out to you. I asked you for help in the past. V'lo shatam osam yadi, mi'adam, you didn't save me from them. I've asked you in the past. So you didn't do anything. I saw that you weren't going to be able to save us. So I put my soul in my own hand. And I went myself against Bnei Amon. And Hashem put them in my hands. Why are you coming up to me to fight with me? He immediately went on the defense. He said, what, you're coming up against me? No. We did everything we were supposed to do. We asked you before, you said no. So this war, we decided not to call on you because we knew you were a bunch of babies. So don't tell us that we didn't call you before. We did, and we were suffering for years, and you never helped us whatsoever. It's your own fault that we didn't call you this time. He gathered all the people of Gilead. Now remember, these are a bunch of people who have been oppressed for years by the Bnei Ephraim and the other people of Bnei Menashe. They've been treated like garbage for years. As soon as Yiftach said to them, guys, we're going to fight against the Bnei Ephraim, they're like, yes, finally, we're going to show our superiority over all of them. They killed them. You are but the outcasts of Ephraim, O Gilead. You're in the midst of Ephraim and Asher. That's what they used to say to them. And that's why. That's why they ended up saying all these things, because they couldn't stand them. So they captured the crossing to the Jordan River that Ephraim owned. Whenever some people from Ephraim wanted to pass by, whenever they wanted to cross over, the people of Gilead said to him, Afrosi ato? Are you an Afrosi? Right? Are you from Ephraim? And he'd say, no, I'm not from Ephraim. That's what the guy would say. And they said to him, Emurna Shibolas. Say the word Shibolas. Vayomer Sabolas. Sibolas. And they couldn't pronounce a sh sound. They couldn't do a sh. They always did a s instead of a sh. So because that happened, lo yochin ledaber kein, they weren't able to speak it correctly. The people of Gilead would capture him by yishchatu al mabros hayarden and kill him at the crossings of the Jordan River. Yipol beisim Ephraim arbayim ushnayim elef. 42,000 warriors of Ephraim died at that time, and that was a horrible civil war. We've already seen Jews fighting against Jews, unfortunately. We saw Sukkos and Penuel go down by the hands of Gidon. We already saw Gidon do that. We saw Avimelech kill the people of Shechem. But this, never was there a full-out war where 42,000 people were killed. A city that fought back, okay, they'll do that. Maybe you'll have that. But a full-out war, this was a horrible, horrible, horrible thing. Now, why did they say Shibolas? It could be that this test was absolutely an accident. Shibolas is the name of a stream, and that was the name of the river. They said the people of Ephraim would say, oh, we just want to cross the Shibolas, but they said the Sibolas. And the Bnei Gilead, the people of Gidon, the people that served Gidon, were like, oh, what did you just say? And served Yiftach, I'm sorry. He said, what did you just say? And when they realized that, they started using it as a test. It's possible that's that. It could also be that it meant something much more, much different. Shibolas was a reference to Baal, the name of the idol that they were serving at the time. So maybe it meant sort of like Sibolas turning into blasphemy, and they killed them because they ended up doing it. It was the shepherds that had it the worst. There were many shepherds from Ephraim who crossed the Jordan River. They forded the river with their sheep and used to graze all among the area of the Gilead, but they couldn't do so anymore because every time they did it, the Giladim, the people from there, would attack and kill them, and that was bad. Some say that the real reason why the tribe of Ephraim fought against Gidon, and Gilad, is because Yiftach sacrificed his daughter. They were so angry at Yiftach, they thought, how dare you do it? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, still, they didn't deserve any better. Ephraim was not that much better than them. But Yishbo Yiftach Yisrael Sheishanim, he judged Bnei Yisrael for 6 years. Unfortunately, some of that was good, and some of it was bad. Yiftach was not the greatest guy. Vayomas Yiftach Gilad, Vayikavar Be'ari Gilad. He was buried in the cities of Gilad, and that's where Chazal take it. The fact that he's buried in cities, how are you buried in cities of the Gilad? Because he had parts of his body fall off. Little by little, he atrophied. His arm fell off, his other arm fell off.
It could also mean like the cemetery that served a bunch of cities in Gilad.
That would be weird, wouldn't it be? You'd say one basic kvar. You wouldn't say Ba'ari Gilad. You'd say Vayikaver, but basic kvar shall Ari Gilad.
Do you ever hear a language like that, though?
That's the reason why you darshan it. Yeah, that's where the drush has to come from, because the word is strange. In pshat, it just means one of the cities of Gilad, and we don't know where it is. Right. That would be the pashup pshat. Well, then you got Ivtsan from Beis Lachem. Ivtsan is more famously known as Boaz, from the famous Ruth story. Ruth's story happened during this time. By Yilo Shloshim Banim Shloshim Banos, he had 30 sons and 30 daughters. Shilach Hachutza, he sent them outside. Shloshim Banos Hevi Labanav, he brought in 30 daughters for his own sons. Minachutz from elsewhere. By Yishbod Yisrael Shavashanim, he judged Bnei Yisrael for 7 years altogether. He died and he was buried in Beis Lachem. The reason why he was called Ivtsan is because he cooled down his physical desires and controlled them. When did he cool down his physical desire?
When
Rus came to him in the middle of the night and he was ready to be together with her, he cooled himself down and said, I will not be together with this woman. I'm not going to do such a thing. That's why it's called Ibtson, as in so name. He was also called Boaz. He overcame, he had the strength to overcome that desire and was able to do something over there. Some say he was known as Ibtson, as Avtson, the father of the sheep, that he was the shepherd of Bnei Yisrael, and unlike Yiftach, he was a tremendous Talmid Chacham and a tzaddik, but even he was not perfect. He had one major flaw. What was the major flaw? Well, you can imagine this. Historically, it makes a lot of sense. Yiftach was the leader up until then, and he was an Amma Aretz, and people did not treat him right. When Boaz was made leader, he made sure that learning Torah was the most important thing in the world. So anybody who didn't learn Torah with him, he treated them like garbage. So one of the people that did not learn Torah, but was a great man in his own right, was a man by the name of Manoach, who in the future was going to be Shimshon's father. The Gemara says that he didn't invite Manoach to any of his kids' wedding. He said, that sterile mule, what can he do for me? Chazal say, and the Marsha says over there in that Gemara, that because he treated Manoach with such disrespect, he lost all 60 of his children. His 30 sons and 30 daughters all died. He was left with nothing. And he married Rus. He had one child that wasn't even alive when he died. When he died with no children. Rus became pregnant, obviously. But he lost everything for that one thing that he did. Even he was not perfect. Something
like
went wrong.
Situation.
I'm sorry?
It's like an Eeyore situation.
Almost like an Eeyore situation. But he knew and he understood exactly what he had done wrong when it came down to him. That's the idea behind it. Some say that, the Barbanel says, it seems that children lived near their parents back then. Sons lived near their parents and daughters went to their husbands' homes. But that seems to be what happened over here. 30 sons lived with him, with their daughter-in-laws. 30 daughters he sent out to somewhere else. Seems like that was the minhag back then, although it seems in the times of the Gemara it was the exact opposite. Sons went out and daughters remained
that
with the father.
Makes sense because they had ancestral homelands in the time of the Tanakh.
Oh, very good. Yeah, you have Steahuzas. Yeah. Yeah, that's really good. Last week, Bahar. Yeah, that's 100% correct. That's Ibtson and Boaz. That's what we have over here. Some say that Boaz was very old when he was appointed as Shofet, and he was already really old. The reason why he wasn't appointed Shofet before then, because there were other people who were greater than him. Right, only when he was an old man he reigned for 7 years. Others say he was younger, right? But everybody knows what happened at the end of the day. It's funny that we leave out the entire Rus story, but I guess we have an entire sefer about it, so we don't need it over here. Afterward, there was a shofet named Elon HaZvuloni from Zvulun. So now we're seeing other shvatim involved over here. We already seen Ephraim, Menashe, Yehuda, Yisachar. Who else do we have over here? We had. I'm forgetting who else we had. A couple others. But now we have Zvulun, Vayishpot Yisrael, Aser Shanim for... Levi. We had... Ehud Ben Gera was a Levi. Vayishpot Yisrael, Aser Shanim, he judged Bnei Yisrael for 10 years. Vayamas Elon Zvulun, Vayikaver, Ba'ayalon, Be'eret Zvulun. He was buried in Ayalon in the land of Zvulun. We know where Ayalon is now. That's where Shalvim is. Nof Ayalon is the area of Ayalon where Elon Zvuloni was buried.
What's
then it says...
Next,
yeah.
Mind,
yeah. What?
No, Ayalon just means a view of Ayalon. So wouldn't it just not technically be?
Ayalon is the name of Elon HaZvuloni. The city was named after him.
Okay.
So I think that's it, yeah. But yeah, that is it.
Vayish
Barach Rav is Yisrael Avdon ben Hillel Pirasoni. Then came after him, the next judge was Avdon, son of Hillel Pirasoni. Vayilo Arboim Banim, Shloshim Bnei Banim. He had 40 sons and 30 grandsons, Rochvim al Shivim Ayarim, that rode on 70 different donkeys. Vayish Barach Yisrael Shemon HaShanim. He ruled over Bnei Yisrael for 8 years. He was the judge for 8 years. It seems that Barbanel says there were many distinguished children. Sounds like a very prosperous family who was very famous for a lot of things that they had done. Right, so he ruled for 8 years. Vayamas Avdon ben Hillel Pirason, Vayikaver ben Pirason, Ve'eretz Ephraim, Bahar Maleki. He was buried in Pirason in the land of Ephraim, and Har Maleki sounds like he's from Ephraim, although we don't know for sure, because again, we have no idea where actually he was from. It sounds very likely that he's from there. Okay, we're now done, just very quickly, we're going to start Perek Yud Gimel next week. The weird thing about Perek Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, Tesvav, everything that has to do with Shimshon, we're now dealing with a totally different type of shofet. Up until now, you've had wars. And everything's been very clear up until the way that everything's been. How has it been so far? Well, it's pretty clear. Bnei Yisrael sinned. Hashem sends a shofet, right? What does the shofet do? He makes Bnei Yisrael do tshuva. They fight a war. They win the war. Everything works out well. That seems to be the norm, you know, when it goes through. Obviously, there are some people we don't know about, but that seems to be the norm. Shimshon had no shaychus to a war. There was no war. Shimshon went out and fought everything by himself. Something's weird about Shimshon, it seems that the Bnei Yisrael at his time were so bad that there was no choice. If Bnei Yisrael would have gone to war, they all would have lost. So therefore, Shimshon had to take care of it by himself. For that reason, there are many that say that the stories that happened at the end of Shoftim, which was Micha, right, and Pilegish Begiva, happened during the times of Shimshon. Why during the times of Shimshon? Well, it does chronologically work. But the reason why is because the people weren't good enough to win these wars. They couldn't fight. And that's why it was so bad, and that's why they had to come along over here. But we'll stop with that for right now, everybody.